Okay, good evening, everybody. So tonight, two shailas, one of them that I just got today, and the other one that I've sort of been sitting on for several months. I've had for a while, but haven't yet discussed, but it's been a slow week of interesting shailas, so we're going to go back to one that I've been sitting on. But okay, the one that I was just asked today, I received a phone call this afternoon, not a phone call, a WhatsApp voice message this afternoon from two rebbeim in a local yeshiva high school. Apparently, there were a couple of boys in the local yeshiva high school that were play fighting, you know, as boys tend to do. They were messing around. I don't know if this is a violation of the COVID restrictions and if they got into trouble on that level, but they were just messing around and play fighting. And as things happened, as they were play fighting, the play fight turned into a real fight. And they started getting really rowdy and, you know, and got into it a little bit to the point, you know, ultimately they finished fighting. They made up, they made shalom with each other, everyone was happy, and everything was fine, except one of them was wearing a fairly expensive leather jacket, and the other one, in the fight, had ripped his leather jacket. So the shaila is the fellow obligated to pay for his leather jacket, meaning he knowingly entered this situation of a fight with the leather jacket on. So is that considered that he sort of was mochel on any damage that might happen to his property as he engages in the fight? So two rebbeim called, each one advocating for a different side for their own talmidim. Baruch Hashem, everyone loves their talmidim, and you know, each one advocating for their own side. But that is shaila number one. Shaila number two, again, is not a recent one. This one I've been sitting on the shaila for a while during the you know, it's hard to say the height of COVID, because right now is the height of COVID, meaning nationwide and in Israel also. But I would say the height of COVID in the from communities in the tri-state area, meaning when we were suffering the most, when there were the most deaths and the most hospitalizations within our own community. Back in April, there was someone that was very, very ill, and it didn't look good for the person. A family member of that person was very distraught, was crestfallen, was very much not ready to say goodbye and to have that person die. And the family member asked me if it's possible to donate years of their life to their relative, that they wanted to donate 5 years of their life to the relative. They just weren't ready. They thought the relative, you know, was going to miss too much in the few years that were coming up, the nachas that the relative would receive, whatever it is, dancing at grandchildren's chasanas or whatever it might be. They wanted to donate 5 years of their life. So the question is that a thing? Is that something that that the Jewish people believe in, that a person can do for somebody else? So those are our two shailas, the two boys messing around and fighting with each other, which is a little more of a lighthearted shaila, and the heavier shaila of the of whether one can donate years of their life to a relative. So let's see, the votes are coming in. Let me see. One, two, three. Okay, it looks like it's a close vote this week, but it looks like shaila number two. Yeah, now it's not close anymore. Okay, so shaila number two wins. All right, so that's what we're going to go with, whether you could donate years of your life. So it happens to be that you, what would you think? Like off the bat, you know, thumbs up, thumbs down, can you, can't you? Like, what would you think? Is this something like we believe in? A thumbs down, right? No way, right? You know, or at least you would think, it depends which segment of the from community you come from, right? Like you'd be open to the idea that there are people that believe this, but also that we're not among those people that believe this. So the issue is that there are many mar makomos. There are many sources in Chazal that seem to indicate that it's not really so silly, as Henry just put out in the chat. David HaMelech, received years that were donated by somebody else, and that's why he was able to live for 70 years. So the question is, was that just something Adam Harishon was able to do? Because, you know, he was Harishon, he was the first person, so he got to do that. Or maybe because he had 1,000 years to mess with, and, you know, was not mess with, but 1,000 years to deal with, and he was therefore able to give 70 years. How exactly do we view that? In fact, I have a Talmud I shouldn't call him a Talmud, because when he was in Mashir, I really taught him nothing. But he subsequently became a real Talmud Chacham by the name of Rabbi Simcha Lauer, who wrote a wonderful book called Learning the News, which is like, it pretty much takes like headlines or things that appear in the news and shows how halacha relates to these stories and to these things that appear in the news. He did a really, really beautiful job, and he sent me a copy. Again, not because I ever taught him anything, but he sent me a copy, and I was looking through it, and he puts it together beautifully. But what's really great about his style is that he doesn't only have like regular marmakomos of the different gemaras and the mamari chazal, but he also has like stories that appear in like gedolim biographies and things like that. So he gives a couple of precedents in modern times that apparently something like this happened. For example, he points out that, and this is why it's, you know, it's from the news, it's learning the news, that apparently on the Ynet news site on September 24th, 2013, it said, Yasma Tomim Chaim Leravavadia. And the story was that a man by the name of Aaron not only donated a year of his life to Rav Avadia, but he also undertook a fundraising campaign to solicit others to donate at least 2 minutes of their lives, which would collectively amount to a significant amount of time. Meaning he wanted Rav Avadia to live longer, so if you could get thousands of people to donate 2 minutes each, so that could be a lot more time for Rav Avadia Yosef. And was Rav Avadia pleased with Aaron's campaign? We don't know. But, the article claims, earlier when Rav Yosef Shalom Eliashiv was seriously ill, this very same Aaron donated some of his life to Rav Eliashiv. And when he told Rav Avadia about his donation to Rav Eliashiv, Rav Avadia was very pleased with him. So we don't know if Rav Avadia would have been pleased with him donating to Rav Avadia, but Rav Avadia thought it was a very nice idea that he decided to donate to Rav Eliashiv. So Shlomo asked, what's the process? Right? He said, why not more simple, the soldier that fell on a grenade to save his fellow soldier? No, that's actually, you know, that's a physical reality, meaning the person's giving it. We know that it's a question whether it's mutter to do that, whether you're supposed to do that or not, but your ability to do that, to jump on a grenade, is not in question. Over here we're asking, does it even work? You know, I'm going to say, oh, I'll give this number of years. So there are certainly ways that one can give life to other people. You donate blood, you donate plasma, you donate a kidney, you donate bone marrow. There are ways that you can give life to other people. But the question is, does it work to give up of your own life and say, Ribono Shalom, take some of my life and give it to somebody else? And then Rabbi Lauer quotes from the Rabbi Joseph Telushkin biography of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, which I've read all of the biographies that I'm aware of in English of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. To my mind, this was the best of the three or four that I read. And in the biography of Lubavitcher Rebbe, he writes the following story. Devora Leah, daughter of the Alter Rebbe. The Alter Rebbe was not, you know, the Alter Rebbe was the Baal HaTanya. I learned that now that I teach in YU Smicha, so we have some Chabad students, some Lubavitcher students. So every time I would quote the Shulchan Aruch Harav, so the response back when they would say what you said before from the Alter Rebbe. So I learned the Sprach that you're not supposed to say Shulchan Aruch Harav, you say the Alter Rebbe. So the Alter Rebbe died at the daughter of the Alter Rebbe, Devora Leah, died at the age of 26. It is widely accepted in Chabad that she took upon herself such a fate so as to spare her father, then sick, from a premature death. The Sefer HaToldos Admor HaZaken relates that on the eve of Rosh Hashanah, just after the afternoon mincha service, she entered the small synagogue where her family prayed and found other members of her family, along with her father's closest disciples, in the presence of the Torah scrolls. I call all of you to witness that I, Devora Leah, daughter of Sterna, hereby pledge upon the holy Torah scrolls, in full and complete awareness of my actions, and with the most solemn and binding vows, to take the place of my father of Shner Zalman ben Rivka, so that he may live and not die. This act was done without her father's knowledge, and later that evening, when he tried to offer her the customary New Year's blessing, she cut him off before he could finish. She then offered him the traditional blessing, "Father, be inscribed and sealed for a good year," and then added, "Say nothing more, father," thereby stopping him from completing his blessing to her. On the second day of Rosh Hashanah, Dvorah Leah took ill, and she died a day later, on the 3rd of Tishrei, 5553, 1792. Her dying wish, it is said, was that her father personally educate her son, a young child, not yet three. The Alter Rebbe promised to do so and declared, "Your son Menachem is a comfort to me. He will be a comfort to you and all of Israel." And this son, Menachem Mendel, grew up to be the third Rebbe and the forebearer and namesake of the seventh Rebbe. So that is the story that is told within Chabad circles, obviously working with the assumption that this is possible, that this is something that a person can do. But again, as we started, as we said at the very beginning, if I would have told you that Lubavitcher Chassidim believe that this is something that we can do, probably you would not have hesitated. You would have said, "Yes, I believe that Lubavitcher Chassidim believe that this is something." But does that necessarily mean that that is normative for Litvaks or for whatever, for people from other communities? Is that something that we necessarily believe? So there is a comment in Sefer Chassidim, Os Tuf Mem Hei, where the Sefer Chassidim, and most of my Marmakomos tonight are taken straight from Rabbi Lauer, but a couple of extras I'll throw in, but mostly straight from him. In Sefer Chassidim, Os Tuf Mem Hei, it says that a man approached a sick person, and as a joke, he offered to take his illness from him for money. And the sick person agreed, and the man subsequently became ill and died. However, that Sefer Chassidim, first of all, it's Sefer Chassidim. Not everything in Sefer Chassidim is meant to be taken halacha lemaisa. Second of all, probably the idea that the Sefer Chassidim is trying to tell us is, I'm not sure why my name became rabbi on the Zoom. That's very disturbing. I never made my name rabbi. That's weird. Okay, I have to rename. I'm sorry. Hey, that's just bothering me. Calls themselves a rabbi. Okay, there we go. It was probably one of my kids messing around. What was I saying? I probably shouldn't have stopped this year for that. Probably what the Sefer Chassidim was referring to was Al Tiftach Pel LaSatan, that we have this concept of Bris Kruso L'Svasayim, that words are powerful. Remember, we discussed this recently, I think. We had a shiur about, what was it, about the person playing dead for the Chayalim, right? The Chayalim that were training to be able to collect bodies, lo aleinu, on a battlefield, so they needed people to pretend to be dead. So there is this concept of Al Tiftach Pel L'Satan. Chuvas Rashba writes, you do not take this concept lightly, that Kilas Hedyot, that even Kilas Hedyot, it should be taken seriously, that words matter, words can make an impact. That's probably what that's about, but not about the idea of trading, that you can actually trade years of your life from one person to the other. So in order to deal with this, let's just go through five or six different rayas from Divrei Chazal about this issue, and then we'll see what the post can have to say about it. Raya number one is the raya that Henry mentioned before, that the Medrash tells us in Yalkut Shimoni in Bereishis Mem Aleph and the Medrash Rabbah in Ben Midbar Yudalid Yud Aleph, that David was supposed to die at birth, but Adam Arishon was kind enough to contribute 70 years of his life. The Zohar says it wasn't Adam that contributed, it was, in fact, Avraham gave 5 years, Yaakov gave 28, and Yosef gave 37, and that's how we got to a total of 70. And where did the Zohar pull those numbers? Because Avram lived 5 years less than Yitzchak, Yaakov 28 years less than Avram, and Yosef 37 years less than Yaakov. So that is one place where we clearly seem to find the idea of one person saying, take some of the years of my life and give it to somebody else. Another source for the idea that a person can transfer years, or that years can be transferred, not necessarily that a person can decide to do it, but that years can be transferred, is a remarkable story in the Gemara in Chagiga, Daf Dalet Amud Beis. The Gemara tells us, Rav Yosef kimati lahai kra bachi. When Rav Yosef reached a certain pasuk, he cried. The pasuk says, v'yesh nispe b'lo mishpat, that there are some people that die before their zman. They did nothing wrong, they were not supposed to die then, and it's below mishpat, it's without any justice that some people die. And so Rav Yosef was very upset by this. How could it be that Hashem is not going going to do things justly? A person's going to die before they're supposed to? So Amar, mi ika da azil below zimni? Is it true that someone could die early? Says Gemara, in. Ki hadra bibi barabai, have a shkiach gabe malach hamavas. Like Rav Bibi Barabai, he used to always hang around at the malach hamavas. Malach hamavas used to come visit Rav Bibi Barabai. Unclear why that is, that Malach HaMavis used to visit him, but we do find that certain Amoraim did get visits from the Malach HaMavis. Gemara in Ksubas Tavayin Zayin tells us that Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa used to get visits from the Malach HaMavis, Moed Katan Chav Chesam Ralv, that Rava used to get visits from the Malach HaMavis. So apparently Amoraim somehow enjoyed the company of the Malach HaMavis every once in a while. So Bibi Bar Abaye was one such Amora. So Amarle Lishluche Zilaitili. So the Malach Zilaitili Miriam Godless Seir Nishaya. So the Malach HaMavis was talking to Rabbi Barabai, and he said, oh, I remember a story once where I told my shaliach, I told one of my underlings, go bring me Miriam Megadla Seir Nishaya, Miriam who's a hairdresser. And the shaliach made a mistake. The shaliach of the Malach HaMavis, he was like the new intern for the Malach HaMavis, and he didn't know what he was doing. So Azal Aitileh, he went and he brought in Miriam Megadla Dardiki, the playgroup teacher Miriam, the preschool teacher Miriam, same first name, but not the hairdresser, the preschool teacher. The Malach HaMavis went to the hairdresser in the hair salon. They speak Lashon Hara the whole time. She was the one that was supposed to die. In the preschool, she's being Megadol children, teaching them beautiful songs about Torah and everything else. She was supposed to live. So the Malach HaMavis said to the Shliach, well, you got the wrong one. I'm not Miriam Megadol Seir Neshaya Amilach. I told you to bring the hairdresser. Amalei, I hachi ahadra. He says, okay, I'll go bring her back. You know, we'll put her in a shama back. She'll bang on the coffin. Hopefully, they'll hear and they'll let her out. So Amalei, hol vayti se lahavi l'minyana. No, once she's here already, we'll keep her. So you know, she's going to be counted among the mason. So the Malach HaMavis asks the shliach, elehechi yachaltala. How did you manage to get her? HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have saved her. So it was Nikita Matara Biyada. She was holding a poker for the fire, for the oven, vahavas shagra, and she was trying to stoke the coals, umacharya tanura, and the oven she was being mechata the gechalim in the oven, shakalta vanachta agaba dekara, and she took the fire and she put it by mistake on top of her leg, on top of her foot, kadcha, it burnt her leg, vitra mazla, so she was already in a dangerous position, vaitise, so I had the ability to chap her because she was already in a dangerous position, meaning I wouldn't have been able to take her if she didn't deserve to go and she was acting in a perfectly safe manner. But when people act in an unsafe manner, they're extra vulnerable to the Malach HaMavis being able to get them, or even the Malach HaMavis's intern being able to get them when you know, because they've put themselves in a dangerous position. So Rabbi Barabai said to the Malach HaMavis, Ischu Rishus al Mevrachi, you have the right to do that? To take people early? Samalei, Loksiv, V'yesh Nispa B'lo Mishpat? What, doesn't the Pasuk say that some people die without justice? Amalei Vaksiv Dor Halech V'dor Ba? But there's another Pasuk that says that one generation comes and the other one goes. It sounds like every generation is supposed to live through their generation until they're allotted time. So Amar Diri'inu Luhu Ana. In order that these neshamos should be mashlim their dar, I carry them, I protect them, and they sort of hover in Olam Hazeh. So these neshamos don't really have minucha in Olam Haba. They sort of hover in Olam Hazeh until their dar is over. And then afterwards, I give these neshamos to the duma, which is where the neshamos ultimately go. So Rabbi said, sof, shnei mayavadit. But what do you do with their years? You took away. The person should have lived 30 more years, right? What do you do? I just saw a statistic on that they estimate that the average person who died of COVID, you know, people always say, oh, it only affects really old people anyway. So what happened? 95-year-old dies from COVID. What, they lost the day of their life? Right? You know, it only affects. The statistic is that the average person died from COVID, they assume lost statistically an average of 13 years of life. So it's not only old people, and if it is old people, life expectancy pre-COVID was much, much higher. They think this is the first time that life expectancy is going to drop in a long, long time, from 1 year to the next. It brings us back 20 years in medicine, meaning it's ki'ilu COVID canceled out all of the medical advancements of the last 20 years. Really stunning. But anyway, so he said, so what do you do with the extra years? So Amar, he said, if there's a Tzur Merabana, if there's a young Talmud Chacham who's Mavir al Midosav, who's easygoing and willing to forgive things, so that person gets these years instead. Whoa, so here's a second source for the idea that years of one's life can be transferred from one person to the other. Now, it only shows that the Malach HaMavis is able to do such a transfer, not that people can decide to do it, but still, it's pretty shocking. Tosos asks, both over there and in Maseches Yevamos, Tosos says, well, wait a second, Yesh Lahakshos, Rabbi Akiva di Islei Bishili Acholetz. Rabbi Akiva holds in Maseches Yevamos and Daf Nun, Mishalo Hosifu Lo L'Chizkiyo V'Leslei Zachem Hosifin Lo, Hamashma Hacha de Mosifin Lo, that Rabbi Akiva says that a person cannot be Zocha and get more years than they were predetermined to have. That when one is born, it's Nigzar Alav, how long he's going to live, and that's it. And you can't be, and that's what Rabbi Akiva says about Chizkiyo HaMelech. So what's going on over here? Tosa says that now all of a sudden this Tzorba Merabanan is getting these extra years. I thought you're not allowed to get extra years. So Tosa says, no, you normally can't. But if someone died unjustly, so there are these extra years hanging around, so then you can get the extra years. But normally you wouldn't be able to get the extra years. Alternatively, Rabbeinu Bezalel Ashkenazi writes that there's a range given for each person. And the high end is if he's a Talmud Chacham, a Mavrel Midosav, meaning a person when he's born is it's determined, he's going to live somewhere between 95 and 102 years or something like that. And if he's a Talmud Chacham, Mavrel Midosav, so maybe he'll get the higher end. And if not, if he's a Rasha, he'll get the lower end of the range. Alternatively, maybe Rabbi Kiva only said that about Chizkiyo HaMelech because he was a Melech, because it's a beautiful Ha'ara that Rabbi Mitzal Ashkenazi has. He says, what's the zechus of Talmud Chacham? He has to be Mavir al Midosav. That he has to be someone who's mochel. That if people are pogeya in his kavod, that he lets it slide. He's mochel, right? Knee jerk reaction. Someone's pogeya, a person's kavod, and they want to just react and they want to fire back. So Mavir al Midosav is a big mida, but a melech shemochel al kavodo ain't kavodam mochel. A melech is not allowed to be mochel in his kavod. It doesn't even work to be mochel in his kavod. And some tasa melech shetehei. A masav alecha. He has to make sure that the office of melech is one that carries with it a certain authority to it. And if he's going to be mochel on his kavod, it doesn't work. A melech is not allowed to be mochel on his kavod. The office of melech is one of great dignity and great ema. So maybe it's only because he was talking about Chizkiyo that Rabbi Kiva said you can't add extra years. But had it been someone else, maybe you can add extra years. And we also have a Malchus Nagas Bechavrta Afilu Kamalonima, that when one melech dies, another melech is supposed to take over, so you can't encroach on someone else's time. So maybe a melech can't live longer than he's supposed to, because another melech is supposed to take over. But regular people maybe can live longer than they were supposed to. And Dafka, Shlomo Kluger writes that it's Dafka that it goes to a Talmud Chacham, a Mavir al Midosav, because the Talmud Chacham is going to generate lots of zechuyos for the other person, meaning if you're given extra years of life on someone else's cheshbon, those zechuyos that you generate are also on their cheshbon. It's their life that you're living. So all those mitzvahs, so we dafka give it to a Talmud Chacham, and dafka one who's Mavir al Midosav, who's willing to be mochel, because he's going to go up Lachar Me'Vesem and he's going to say, I want all these zechuyos for myself. And they say, sorry, you have to share them. So he has to be the kind of person that's willing to share. So that's why that's what Shlomo Kluger writes. That's why it goes to someone who's Mavir al Midosav. The other Maramakom that's quoted by the Poskim is that Rivka Yimenu tells Yaakov when he's afraid that Yitzchak is going to curse him for taking the brachos, that Alai kilalascha b'ni. So what does that mean, Alai kilalascha b'ni? So, Al Derech Remez, the Vilna Gaon says, Alai means Esav, Lavan, and Yosef, Ayin Lamed Yud, Esav, Lavan, and Yosef. Those are going to be all the klelos you're going to have to deal with in your life, but there's no further klelos that you'll ever have to deal with. That's what the Rav Asher Weiss quotes in his Sichos on the Parsha, when Binyamin has to be taken from him and Shimon is not returned, Yaakov says, Alai hayu kulana. That how could it be that I'm suffering with Binyamin and with Shimon, My mother said a lie. She said Ayin Lamed Yud, that all I would ever have to deal with was Esav, Lavan, and Yosef, that I wasn't going to have to suffer more. A lie, Hayukulana. It's a beautiful vart. But what's the Pasha Pshat in the Pasuk, right? What's the Pasha Pshat? Pasha Pshat is, and this is what the Sforna writes, that she was saying, yeah, maybe there will be a curse placed upon you. I'm going to take that on my shoulders. And if that curse means you're going to suffer, I will accept that suffering in your place. And apparently, that's something she felt she's able to do. Furthermore, Rav Vosner in Shevet HaLevi, Chelek Yud, Simon Kuf Nun Ches, points out that the Navi Yeshaya in Perek Nun Gimel, Psukim Dalet and Hey, talks about Mashiach being Chalenu Hu Nasa, he bears our illnesses, V'umecholo Mipshenu Meduka Me'avonosenu, and because of our Averos, he's going to suffer. And the Gemara Sanhedrin says, Dav Tzadi Ches, is that our sins, I know this sounds a lot like another religion, but that our sins cause the Mashiach to be punished, the Mashiach to suffer. The Marsha says, because Mashiach accepts that punishment for other people's sins. And apparently, that's transferable. Not only that, there is a halacha, mefureshes, in Shulchan Aruch, based on the Gemara Kiddushin, Daf Lamed Aleph and Beis, where the Gemara tells us that within 12 months of a parent's patira, when a child refers to their parent, how do they refer to them? They say, their parent, Hareini, Kaparas Mishkavo. What does Hareini Kaparas Mishkavo mean? Hareini Kaparas Mishkavo means that the parent may need some sort of kapara. I should suffer for that kapara rather than them in the world to come. That I should be that source of kapara, which is just wild. I just came across, I was looking through for Temen Halacha topics in the Sefer, Ohel Yaakov on Kibbutz Aveim. The author is a young fellow, grew up in Queens. He sent me some of his other svarim, but in the back he has Shalos and Shuvos, and one of the questions that he has was someone said that, look, my father was a huge Rasha. I'm not comfortable saying Hareini Kaparas Mishkavo. That's a lot to take. You know, it's a lot to take upon oneself. You know, it's interesting. I was listening to a question and answer session this week that Rav Asher Weiss did with Rav Yisrael Reisman's shul. And one of the questions that Rabbi Reisman asked was about going to Kivrei Tzadikim. And if a person has a choice, Kivrei Tzadikim or Kivrei Avos, who should you go to? Should you go to Kivrei Tzadikim or Kivrei Avos? So I was waiting for Rav Asher to say. He didn't say. Instead, he said, my father used to be very into going to Kvarim. He was a Tzadik Yisrael, but he was very into going to Kvarim. I'm not so into it. Rav Asher said he's not so interested in going to too many Kvarim. I thought he was going to say that he's very blessed because he doesn't have to make that choice. When he goes to his father's kever, he is going to a kever of a tzaddik, that he doesn't have to. And the truth is, that's what every child is supposed to believe. The Chachma Sadam writes that part of the mitzvah of Kibbutz Aveim is not only b'maisa, not only b'dibor, but it's even b'machshava, that a person should view their own parents as gedolei olam, that you're supposed to see your parents as gedolei olam, even against all the evidence in the world. If no one else thinks they're gedolei olam, a child is supposed to think that they're gedolei olam. So you should view it as if you're going to Kivrei Tzadikim. So I was thinking, maybe that's part of Hareini Kaparas Mishkavo, that you're willing to say, I'm willing to be Kaparas Mishkavo because I view him as a tzaddik, because I think that the parent is a tzaddik. Someone in my shul, a close friend, told me he had a lot of trouble with Hareini Kaparas Mishkavo because he can't imagine. He said, my mother was the most pure and innocent and sweet and kind person I've ever seen in my entire life. Like, he was mamish mekayim kibreim to the extent that the Chachma Sadam says. He says, I can't imagine that she has to go anywhere. He had trouble with Kaddish. He says, I understand that we stopped Kaddish a little early because Dina Shel Gehenim. He says, I can't imagine. I just can't imagine that there's any Dina Shel Gehenim. That's exactly the way a child should think, right? So maybe that's the Hareini Kaparas Mishkavo. But this question is asked by Rabbi Bitzal Stern in the Bitzal HaChachma Chelek Vav. He's got four tshuvas in a row, Simon Yud Zayin through Simon Chav, about how can you say Hareini Kaparas Mishkavo? Can you really accept someone else's punishment? So Rabbi Bitzal Stern quotes that Rav Moshe Feinstein held that it's not to be taken literally. It's just saying that you so revere your parents that you would be willing to take punishment for them. And he brings rayas from Sukkah Daf Chaf and from Rashi over there and from a Mishnah Mesechus Negoyim Kedarko Bekodesh. Rav Moshe brings you all over Shas. We don't have time to get into the rayas right now. Sanhedrin Daf Yud Ches, where you see that this is a terminology that's used as a way of showing kavod. Rav Bezalel Stern, for his own part, thinks that it is to be taken literally. That the kibul de achar moso is mishal ben, that you have to give up your own suffering, even though while the parent is alive, it's mishal av, you don't have to give up anything of yourself, but mishal ben after they die, and it's to be taken literally. I saw in this Sefer Oel Yaakov, he quotes a commentary on the Ein Yaakov who says that no, when you say Areni Kaparas Meshkavo, your willingness to take that suffering is a kiyum of kibud aveim, which thereby negates the suffering, meaning the mitzvah that you're doing now in kibud aveim is going to negate the suffering that you otherwise would have gotten by taking on that suffering. Okay, cute. There are other rayas as well. We're not going to have time to get into it. Shabbos Tav Pei Tes. What do we say end of the day? We have 1 minute left. What do we say end of the day, right? What are the shitos? So Rabbi Bezalel Stern in that tshuva, in the Bezalel Chachma, and apparently according to Ynet News, Rav Vadya Yosef, believe that it works, that you could do it. In the Rav Moshe Feinstein biography, again, I never would have found this, but Rabbi Simcha Lauer did find it. In the Rav Moshe Feinstein biography on page 477, and we do have Rav Moshe Feinstein on record, at least in Rabbi Bezalel Stern's tshuva, but in the biography it says like this, and with this we'll close. After Rav Moshe took ill in 1978, he received a letter from a Ben Torah who wrote that he was donating 1 year of his life in the hope that in this merit, Rav Moshe's life would be extended. Rav Moshe responded, "I was tremendously moved by your letter, which I received during the days of my difficult illness. Regarding the sacrifice of which you wrote, however, know, my precious one, you will not lose even a moment of life. On the contrary, in the merit of your Mesiris Nefesh to donate a year for my sake, Hashem Yisparach will grant you many years of good health in which to toil in Torah." Essentially, Rav Moshe said, doesn't work. It's a beautiful gesture, but it does not work. So certainly when someone is in great distress over a relative, I think the better eitzah for them is that the zechus of the great love that you have for them, that you would even ask such a question, should be something that the Ribbono Shalom sees in exercising rachamei shemayim, to see how much this person is loved and needed, and you should channel all of that emotion and energy into tefillah l'zechus, a refuah shalema for that person. Okay, everyone have a wonderful Shabbos, and thank you for coming to learn this evening.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Good night.
Great topic.
It's all Sam Lauer.
Yes, have a beautiful Shabbos, Rabbi.
Good Shabbos. You know what his father's name is?
Elliot and Marilyn Lauer.
Elliot Lauer, that's Cookie's cousin.
Oh, okay.
She's related to the Lauer, so very interesting.
All right.
All right, be well.
Bye-bye.